to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So can we have the report out of closed session, legal counsel, please?
Yes, Chairman Ohilski, members of the board, staff, and audience. The board did go into closed session a few minutes after 6 under two government code sections. First, under government code section 54956.9D1, we discussed the bankruptcy and gave direction to staff, but took no other reportable action. Second, in regards to the real property matters pursuant to government code section 54956.8, we heard a report from our ad hoc committee. We gave direction to staff, but took no other reportable action.
Okay, any questions? Okay, with that, before I'm going to deviate from my agenda now, before we go to the public comment on items not on the agenda, I'd like to go ahead and introduce our interim general manager, Peter Campa. Would you like to say a few words, Peter?
Higher, there it is. I usually don't have to use a microphone to project my voice, but I appreciate the introduction. Pete Campa, general manager, interim general manager here at Los Osos CSD. Been following the excitement and progress of this district over the years, and I've been community services district manager for a couple of decades, certainly back in the 90s, I thought that the district being formed and the project that was being undertaken and everything else was really a very important thing for the community, and then lost touch with the CSD for a period of time while I was busy completing a project in another location. And so it's good to be back and see where everything has been, and hope to be able to bring my expertise and experiences to help this district move some good things forward. So it's an honor to be here.
Okay, thank you. So with that, then we'll go to item number 8, which is public comment on items not on the agenda. And you could please state your name for the record, please.
You know I don't have to, but I will.
My name is Julie. I do know that you don't have to, but it does help our record keeping. Thank you, Julie.
Doesn't matter, Marshall. I am Julie Tacker, and I kind of wanted to tell your board a little story. I don't know if you've been following. It really doesn't pertain to you until I get to the punchline. But a few months ago, someone did a public records request for all my public records requests back to 2012. From your district and some other districts in the county. I was curious what steps the district took to fulfill that request and what was given to that person. And over the course of the last 3 months, your legal counsel has been working with that individual. A telephone conference, follow-up, email. And to fill that request, over $1,400, this is the punchline, $1,400 in legal costs to fill a request for information that had already been filled the first time given to me. Why legal counsel needed to go down this path. I'm not a board member. If it had been one of you that he was protecting or inquiring about, I would understand. But I haven't been on this board in 8 years. So these requests only went back to 2012. And why legal counsel felt it necessary to go back in history and look at everything that I had asked for over the course of 4 years, 5 years, and bill you for it is troublesome to me. And I hope it's troublesome to you. And I hope you get to the bottom of it. I believe these charges are erroneous, and I think an analysis of the bills should be done, and I look forward to a positive outcome for the district. I think it was a pure waste of time, and certainly at Mr. Seitz's rate, completely unnecessary. Ms. Kudart could have filled that because she has all of the requests. She has everything that I asked for over the course of that time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other? Oops, I'm sorry, I didn't see you behind there.
Sorry.
Apologize, Keith.
My name is Keith Weimer. I'm chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club and member of the Sustainability Group and homeowner. I'll again point out that you have not agendized the Basin Management Committee meeting as a separate item, as promised, or even as a committee report. The public still has to review very limited and sometimes incorrect minutes to know what goes on at those meetings, or listen to an audio tape. I'm asking the board to make good on that commitment to schedule a separate item for Basin Management Committee updates. I'll also point out that a decision to videotape the meetings, the Basin Management Committee meetings, could have been agendized for the last committee meeting, but it wasn't. I'm asking the chair, who was also the chair of the Basin Management Committee, to agendize that item for the next meeting. The rules say only one committee member needs to request an item for it to be agendized. I'm also asking the chair to agendize conservation for the next Basin Management Committee meeting. I've asked for this since the first meeting without results. This should include an action item for the committee to support use of Los Osos Wastewater Project Conservation Grant and other funding to be used for a coordinated indoor-outdoor conservation program implemented by the parties over the next year. It should also include an action item for the board to support rebates, outreach, and a demonstration project to encourage people to repurpose septic systems. The parties, the community, and the basin will miss out on a one-time only opportunity to save the basin if these programs are not maximized now. Many people don't know that it costs about the same to repurpose a septic system as to abandon it. So residents are telling contractors to fill them with dirt. Repurposing a rainwater system can cut outdoor water use at a home as much as 50%, so repurposing can greatly reduce seawater intrusion if a lot of people do it. The least expensive option is to simply have the tank sanitized and save it for a future rainwater tank. People need to know that saving their tanks to help the basin will even increase the value of their homes. Also, I want to know if the Basin Management Committee held a meeting before the last meeting, a private meeting, I should say. I got the distinct impression from comments and agenda items that they did. I have a related question for Mr. Seitz. Is it the position of the parties that the Brown Act applies to public Basin Management Committee meetings, but that the committee can have private meetings with on their own? I'd like to have the answers to these questions and requests for agenda items tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Any other? Yes.
I'm not here to talk on anything. Okay. I'm not here to talk about much. Somebody turned my water on twice this week, and Tony came over. I had to put locks on all my water spigots. I have a bill of $1,200. It would take me a year to use that much water. And other things are happening in this town. I called the sheriff's department, and they said, we'll drive by. And then there's this mental guy that lives down the street from me. They say he's a child molester, and he's been trying to get in my house. And I got news. I was at the gun store 2 weeks ago. That place was packed. If he comes in my house, he won't be walking out. He'll be alive, but he won't be walking out. And I don't know why, you know, the sheriff's department, they don't even take reports anymore. So I don't understand that at all. And I don't have that kind of money to waste water and throw it away. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Lindy?
Good evening, Lindy Owen. And I just wanted to bring up an idea that looks like it's starting to get a little attention, and that would be that we have the option to repurpose our septic tanks, 1,200 gallons up to, some of them are 2,000, with a water service, which would come from the recycled water and from the upper aquifer water. And I really think it should be an option that's provided free. It encourages the community to do the input to have water delivered to their tanks and be able to do all of their outside irrigation with that. That's approximately one-third of the water we use every day. Now, if you think that we could save a third of our water with such a small effort, I really encourage that everybody keep on this and ask the county to provide those delivery water services on the Purple Pipe trunk lines. Very easy to do. You could probably put up 5 stations and have a private service. I think we'd do a great job reducing the amount of water we're dragging out of our aquifers. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public comment on items not on the agenda. I would like to just respond myself to a couple of items that were raised. There was no private meeting of the Basin Management Committee, period. We've only had 3 meetings, and they've all been our public meetings, so just to put that one to rest. We will be, and this is Basin Management related, we will be considering the videoing at our next meeting, and I thought Keith was aware of that. So as far as the request for Basin Management Committee being a separate item, we do have the only item that Basin Management was talking about, which is on our regular discussion agenda today, so that's why I felt it wasn't important to set it up as a separate item, since we do have that on our regular agenda. I think that was all that I had to add to the questions that came up there. So do you have anybody else have anything to add?
Mr. Weimer is correct. The committee chose to be a Brown Act committee, so there cannot be any private meetings amongst the board members. That doesn't stop the staffs from each of the members from getting together and having discussions. But the board itself cannot meet except at an agendized meeting, either called as a regular meeting or a special meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll go to the administrative and committee reports. The first report we have is the fire department report.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Tom McEwen. I'm the battalion chief for the South Bay Fire in the North Coast. And I'd like to present for you this evening the battalion chief's report for the month of January of 2016. In the month of January, emergency activity for the district was 123 calls. We had 10 simultaneous calls back-to-back where both units had to be deployed. Of those 10 calls, 3 of them required advanced life supports on both calls. Of the 123 incidents in January, 86 were medical aids, 46 required advanced life support, and we sent a firefighter into the hospital four times with the ambulance during January. We had 2 calls that required staging for the Sheriff's Department, 1 traffic collision, 7 incidents reported as fires, and 18 public service assists. Company 15 was called back to cover the station and or respond to emergencies about 13 times in the month of January. And administrative-wise, for the month of January, we're continuing to work on hiring 4 additional reserve firefighters, and they've gone through most of their testing, and hopefully we'll start putting them into the training and moving them forward here pretty quickly. They've all been through the medical training, and they've all got their uniforms. We're trying to get them on the floor as soon as we can, because unluckily we're hiring 4, and it looks like we're probably going to be losing 3 in the same time we're hiring the 4. That being said, we're going to turn right around and go back right into another hiring process again and to try to keep people going. It's really becoming a just a round robin of constant hiring and constantly losing folks. So that being said, Tim Milkovich left with, he's been with us for just a little over a year, and he left to go to Ventura County Fire Department, and we wish him the best. And we'll move it on. Keep going, trying to keep the ranks filled. We're working at a couple of things to do that, and it's getting, I'm going to tell you, it's getting a little difficult to bring in people. We may have to expand our circle that we're drawing people from. So we're going to continue to work on that. As far as in January, we finally got Medic Engine 15 back from the emergency vehicle group in Anaheim. It had been down there since October. Why it was down there, we had warranty repairs done. The ladder rack was repaired. A mystery electrical short, spent quite a bit of time chasing that down. And they also repaired the pressure relief valve, which is a safety device on the pump. Most of that was covered under the warranty from the engine, and what wasn't covered under warranty was paid for under the contract. So that was pretty much all done at no cost to the district. The other thing that's going on as far as special projects is we've gone ahead and applied for a assistance to firefighter grant for about $60,000. What we're requesting on that grant will be a self-contained breathing apparatus filling station. Currently, if we use our air tanks, we either have to take them over to headquarters or try to get someone to bring one of the breathing apparatus over here. And now we're going to try to get a grant to get our own, so it'll be set up and we'll be self-contained. And that'll work good for us, too, because we'll also be able to support some of the folks that are around us that need their air tanks filled. The grant also asks for a device called an Arizona Vortex, and that's a big fancy word, but it's basically a rescue A-frame ladder that allows us to work close to the edge and in a way that's a little bit safer. It's going to be beneficial to us out on the cliffs and any place we're working in the dunes. It also works well for confined space entry, which is what we're going to be dealing with when we start moving into laterals and the sewer starts flowing. We're going to have to have, eventually we're going to end up having to go into a, you know, confined space to look for somebody in there. So we're hoping we get those. We also asked to get some more, 50 more smoke and carbon monoxide detectors for distribution to our low-income folks. And if we're successful in getting this grant, it's going to cost the 301 fund $2,800 in matching. So we also got a couple of our SCBA bottles tested, and that's good because they all passed, because they're running about $1,500 to replace the bottles now, and it's good that we've had really good luck with all of them passing. So we haven't had to replace any bottles. Been doing a little training in January. We worked with the Estero Bay CERT team, and they've held a total of 5 classes between us and Morro Bay and Cayucas, and we've got about 50 students through that. The purpose of the CERT guys is to train civilians to come out and assist in emergency situations, and they have a little basic understanding of how to turn off gas meters, how to shut down electricity, do a few things out there that can help take some of the mundane load off of the emergency responders so we can have them concentrate on the more life-threatening stuff. Our 4 firefighters, the new reserve firefighters, are all attended our required introduction to Diablo Canyon. They went out there for the 8 hours, and Diablo Canyon, we will be putting in for reimbursement for that. So that's good. As far as fires, well, going back to talking to the one on January, we had a fire on the 1200 block of 5th Street. It was probably two-thirds involved on the arrivals of our first-in companies. We were able to keep the fire to the original structure. We were able to keep it out of their garage. Had slight damage to one exposure. Slight damage to 2 exposures and 1 exposure, no damage at all, which was pretty good considering the fire load inside that house. And since this was written, they finished the investigation, and they've determined that the cause was a zero-clearance fireplace that was non-permitted and incorrectly installed, probably in the 60s, and just finally wore out and developed a hole and was allowed the fire to get outside of the fireplace and into the walls, took up the walls and straight into the attic. So we've also been working, doing a little bit of a stop, drop, and roll with the kids, and some first aid for the Girl Scouts, and that pretty much kept us all busy for January. That's the end of my report.
Thank you.
Any questions I can ask, Crane?
Any questions from the board? Okay, thank you. Seeing none.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Utility Department report.
Excuse me for one moment. I'm Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. We have a minor technical malfunction with the box, so we'd like to make an adjustment. If you could just give us 2 seconds to make a fix on that.
2 seconds, time's
two
up.
2 seconds. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. We've resolved the problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's why I really like you, the job you do here, you know? Okay. We're back. Okay, so Utilities Department report is the next report. Margaret's not here, so I'll just touch on some highlights in the report, and then I think that we have the written report that's available to everybody on the board. It's in our package. It's on the back table, and it's available on our website if anybody has any questions. I would just like to point out a couple of highlights. We did have a decrease in production from last year by approximately another 25%, so we're obviously doing our share for the drought reduction. Even though we had an 18% reduction in consumption, we did have an increase in revenues, which is based on two things: our water rate study that I think we did an excellent job on, and then also the more water you use, the higher rate you pay. So I think that does that. I think the other interesting thing in the staff report is if you look at the drought monitor handout that's on page 3, it shows very, very clearly that we're in a exceptional drought area on that chart, which includes the Central Valley and this portion of the state. So I think that's important to note. I think the rest of it's all in the report here, so unless anybody has any questions, we'll move on to the general manager's report. Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to the interim general manager's report. Peter?
Yeah, I guess I could have provided a dozen or so graphs as we have in the operations report to analyze management activities. It'd be really exciting to hear all of those things. But that, in reality, that's the intent of this report. Over time, we'll get some direction from the board on exactly what they would like to see addressed in this report. I think they're a good communication piece. We can add to it to resolve questions that may come up at board meetings, or address particular issues, or do a white paper or a project description, or whatever the board thinks would be good for community information. The other thing that I wanted to address in this report is my experience with the California Special Districts Association on that board for 16 years. And have worked with them to develop a number of different education and outreach programs that have been really successful with districts throughout the state, helping them just basically have a really strong governance foundation and keeping them moving forward on very important community projects and providing strong services, because every year we have a slew of new laws that come into effect, as you know, that if we're not paying attention, they can really cause us grief. Plus, we've got a lot to plan for in the future. So a couple of recommendations that I have in my report. I'm stepping out on a limb a little bit, but I think that it would be really beneficial for the district to go through the various programs that the California Special Districts Association does have that are benchmark programs. Those are in transparency. Basically, we have a few little things to add to our current program. It's not that we're not transparent, but there are certain criteria that is an industry standard benchmark that is up pretty high about community outreach and transparency. If we meet that, we submit an application and get a certification that's really good to hang in the office. In addition, there are other programs, Districts of Distinction, which shows that all of your board has gone through a series of governance training, and also that you have good, solid audits and up-to-date policies and all of the things that keep you out of trouble moving forward, give good direction to your manager, plan for the future and all that. And I really feel that that'll be a seamless thing for me to bring to this board and help you put that in place. And a lot of good ideas to keep the district moving forward. So I want to use this report also as a report on the good things that we're doing. So I'm open for suggestions on that, too.
Thank you. Any questions? I would just like to add one thing. For those of you here, if you look at our agenda item, which is the consent agenda, when we interviewed Peter, we did specify some priorities that we wanted him to do in his management scope here, which were to manage staff to assure the efficient operation of the districts in implementing the policies of the board, to manage the activities of the Standing Advisory Committee as they address the issues that they've been tasked by the board, to assist in staff in providing complete and thorough financial reporting, which can be disseminated to the general public in a readily understandable format, active participation in the Basin Management Committee, development of a strategic or business plan to directly align the vision of the board with the activities and actions of the districts and its management, and last but not least, development of action plan, management goals, and objectives to support the strategic plan. So those are the six specific tasks that we identified for the general manager before we hired him. So with that, unless there's any questions, we'll move on to the legal counsel report.
Yes. President Olhilsky, members of the board, staff, and audience, the fund's about to start to begin. On March 21st, 2016, the Fair Political Practices Commission is going to be considering the conflict of interest rules up in Sacramento. This is a year that we're going to be modifying our conflict of interest code. As I indicated in the past, those rules are going to be, shall I say, instead of concrete, more touchy-feely in terms of whether or not you have a financial conflict. That's going to pose a problem with smaller districts because everybody's going to have some sort of financial impact on most of the decisions that you have, property values or whatever. There's a way around that, and that's going to be something that we'll explore in terms of trying to get a blanket permission from the FPPC to not have to report every time that we have to come to those decisions. But anyways, that's coming. Second, and it was actually brought up by a speaker, since March of last year, the district has received at a minimum 44 public records requests. Because of one that took place in November of last year where confidential information was given out, I was instructed to review every public records request. The one that the speaker was referring to, I think it had over 500 or 600 pages of documents that we produced in a condensed form in response. I was directed to do that, and that's what I did. So that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the legal counsel? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to Steve, the chamber report. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't see Vicki. So, Jan, you're representing LOCAC. I apologize.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. I'm with LOCAC District 2. First of all, we'd like to welcome Mr. Campa. I'm glad to have you on board. You have a lot of fun. At our last LOCAC meeting, our big discussion was on a 4th Street traffic calming situation. The county installed a chicane on the southeast area of the intersection for traffic calming. The project was driven by the neighborhood. It was installed the end of December. The current chicane is causing an issue with vehicles crossing over the double line to either go up 4th Street towards El Moro or even turning the corner towards 3rd. So there's going to be some fine-tuning done on that by the county. We've received a couple of reports from traffic and circulation, land use, and we also wanted to thank Marshall for making two reports, the CSD and the Basin Management Committee report, and he mentioned that he'll make sure that either he or most likely Supervisor Gibson will keep us updated at the LOCAC. Coming up, it looks like we're going to have four referrals for the Land Use Committee. That is Thursday, March 10th, 6:30 p.m. in the small meeting room at South Bay Community Center here. And then traffic and circulation is Tuesday, March 8th, next Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. And then our next full LOCAC meeting is Thursday, March 24th at 7 p.m. here. It is election season for LOCAC. Applications are due April 15th. You can either contact Vicki Millage. That's Vicki LOCAC Chair, all together, at earthlink.net, or give her a call at 805-704-8783. There are openings in every district, and District 1 has two vacancies. The election will be on Saturday, May 21st, and the location is TBD. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Any questions of LOCAC? Thank you, Jan. All right, now, Steve, I'm sorry, now the chamber report.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. First up, I don't know if anybody's noticed the pink flamingos that we have in front of the chamber. It's part of a fundraising effort for Monarch Grove Elementary. The thing is, you too can give a fun-loving friend a yard full of flamingos. Flocking will only take place in Los Osos and Morro Bay. Houses, businesses, so forth. The event runs till March 24th. All donations benefit the Monarch Grove PTA and are tax deductible. For more information, you can call the chamber office or go by the elementary office, Monarch Grove Elementary. We've got three new members that have joined the chamber. Longtime at Los Osos resident Don Young has opened Don's String Shop in a space adjacent to Carlock's Bakery. Don buys, sells, trades, and repairs string instruments. Stop by and see him and say hello. Omni Yoga is owned by Bridget Salisbury, and she offers a variety of yoga styles. Yoga is Bridget's lifelong passion, and she's transformed lives for many years. Go to Omni Yoga the Omni Yoga Facebook page and hit the like button, or check out the fantastic reviews on Yelp.com. Omni Yoga is conveniently located on 10th Street. And then finally, Solar City started with humble beginnings back in 2006, and it's grown to become America's largest solar provider with more than 10,000 employees. Harriet Green and Chris Smith are Solar City's local representatives. Go to solarcity.com and see how they make clean energy available to homeowners, businesses, schools, nonprofits, and government organizations. The last thing I have, and talked about this last week, we have a mixer at the Episcopal Church that's going to be on next Wednesday, March 9th, from 5:30 to 7. We've got the Business Expo Friday, April 22nd, that's Earth Day, 5:30 to 7:30, that's right here. And lastly, we've got the Festival of Flavor. It's the old food emporium. That's going to be right here June 24th. And that concludes the report.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, with that, then we'll move to committee reports, Financial Advisory Committee. We did meet on Monday. I have a couple of things I'd like to discuss, and then the committee did make a recommendation on the agenda item we have regarding the basin management budget, but I'll bring those comments up when we actually get to that, since that's a hearing item. And I apologize, since Accountant Doyle's not here, I can't have him respond to some of these questions that he did respond to at our committee meeting, so I'll try to cover everything. The comments that were brought up by the committee, they did review the warrants and they did review the revenues and expenditures. And there was just something that I know we've talked about before in the past is restructuring our reports so they include the percent of the budget remaining with actual allocations rather than proportional allocations. So that's something that Mr. Doyle said that he would incorporate in the future reports. There was also a discussion about the water revenues and the shortfall in revenues and how the rate study is going to be impacted by the reduction in consumption. And it was pointed out that we do have a rate stabilization reserve fund, and the purpose of that reserve fund was to account for drops in revenue if those did occur. So that's something that we're going to be looking at a little bit more in the future, is how that rate stabilization reserve fund works with the water revenues and how those two impact and what that is impact on our revenues and our budgets. Also, there was a request that we take a look in the future towards a 3 to 5 year projection of our fiscal situation, our financial situation. So rather than doing this on a year-by-year basis, that we're able to do some long-range planning and see what the impacts may or may not be of decisions we make today in the long term. And I thought that was really a good suggestion. So I think that's something that we'll be working with the interim general manager and with the district accountant on. There was a recommendation by the committee that we do, if necessary, spend the monies to go ahead and video the Basin Management Committee hearings, which, as everybody knows, well, we've talked about, are held during the day, and that's not, that doesn't make that accessible to a lot of people. So they did recommend that we do, the Basin Management Committee does go ahead and either video those or broadcast those live. There was also a discussion about when we go to the penalty phase in our billings for the drought conditions, because if you remember, when we adopted the level three severity that we're in right now, there's two columns in that analysis. One has to do with rainfall, that's column A, and the other one has to do with well testing, which is column B. And as far as what the intrusion is from the seawater intrusion, so the for purposes of our analysis, our year ends on March 25th for the rainfall calculation. So we'll know how we played out in column A as of March 25th. So sometime in the month of April, we will be having a joint meeting with the Financial Advisory Committee and the Utility Advisory Committee to address recommendation towards the board, or to the board, whether we want to go ahead and move to a stage, level four, or if we do want to go ahead and initiate those penalty charges that are in our current level. So that's something we will have a joint meeting about, and we will be bringing that back to the board in May. With that said, then, the committee did recommend approval of the warrants with the above concerns that I already expressed, as well as some concerns about the legal billing. Not just the concerns that Ms. Tacker previously raised, but just about what Saperstein's being billing us for and what kind of legal charges are we paying that actually should be allocated to the Basin Management Committee. So they did recommend that we approve that, which is 11C on our consent agenda. And then revenues and expenditures, with the comments that I already expressed, they did recommend that we go ahead and approve the revenue and expenditures, which is item 11D on the consent. Our next financial advisory committee is to be determined. We were previously meeting on the Monday before the board meetings, but I think that's just not enough time before the board meeting. So we're trying to come up with a day that is more accessible to everybody and still give staff enough time to prepare for the board meeting. So next meeting will be sometime this month. I just can't give you the date at this point. So I don't know. John Eric, do you have anything to add to that?
You skipped me. The Ad Hoc Grants Committee report.
No, you're next. You're next.
Okay.
This is the Financial Advisory Committee. The Ad Hocs are next.
All right. Well, no, I don't have anything to add. That was
okay.
You covered
any
it.
Questions of?
I do. Did Mr. Doyle indicate the status of the audit, the 14-15
yes.
audit?
I would defer to the interim general manager to answer that question.
I've had several conversations with the auditing firm, and there are two remaining items. One of them, we've got to, we have to balance some numbers, and I'm not, I meant to meet with Mr. Doyle today, but unfortunately the majority of the office is missing with an illness, so it's really too bad, but I wasn't able to resolve that particular aspect to see what Mike's projection were on, was on getting that resolved. But the other item that, that could produce a delay is the fact that that the district needs to have an actuarial evaluation completed pursuant to GASB 45, the Government Accounting Standards Board. And it is something that we, a district can produce it themselves if they can produce the numbers to a standard. And unfortunately, it is not an easy thing to do. I have never had an auditor accept the numbers that has been produced internally. And when you go outside to have this evaluation done, it ranges typically between $4,000 and $8,000. To run the math, and so when you get done with that, then you have a number that's recorded as a debit, as a cost in your financial statements. And so we, if we have to go out and have it done, it could delay it if we pushed it by a month and a half minimum. So we're working through that. My goal is to have this wrapped up by our May meeting. I mean, that is, I'm going to do everything in my power to push it through to make sure that that happens. And then I will tell you that next year you will be considering your audit in October. Maybe November at the latest, but that's, you know, that this is, it's difficult when it's out this far. People get upset.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none now, and I do have a correction to the, before you go, Lou, I have a correction to the agenda here. This says consultant contract ad hoc committee reports. This should say all of the ad hoc committee reports, so I apologize for that. And I will give mine first, which is the consultant contractor, or pardon me, I will give mine first, which is the consultant contract, which you can see sitting over there. So our ad hoc committee terminated. I was the general manager, and our ad hoc committee terminated our function, so we're no longer in effect because we did identify the general manager. So the two other ad hoc committees we have to report are the consultant contract, which I believe John Eric's going to give that report, and then the grant one you'll give after John Eric's done. So.
Okay. President Ohilski appointed Director Wright and me to review our contract consultants. Right now, I believe last meeting we approved RFPs for our auditors required by statute. As you can see in the packet, some of these consultant contracts are quite old, especially the Wallace Group one, which is, I think is over 15 years old. So our recommendation that we come up with is we would like to have the interim general manager, now that we have one, in accordance with the scope of work that we negotiated with him, to develop some practices and management goals and objectives. So we're going to try and build a plan, for the district, some strategic planning for the district, and line up everybody with that and build some goalposts for everybody to meet. And we'd like to agendize sessions sooner or rather than later to meet and confer with the board regarding our specific goals for these consultants, like I said, in accord with the scope of services set out with the general manager. So I think when this started, we were still scrambling to find, an interim general manager, and this was something that maybe the committee we're going to take more of a microscopic view on. But now I think that would be better if we took a higher altitude view of that. Did I miss anything?
No, I totally agree with that. And now that Pete's on board, I think we can get that rolling again. And to get, because like you said, the contracts are very old. They have not been updated, and I think that's very imperative that we take a fresh look at them.
Okay, so that concludes our committee charge, I believe.
So you're done too. So Lou, you'll be the only continuing ad hoc committee, I guess. So grants.
Okay, I'll give you some examples of what I've been trying to do for the last 6 to 8 months, which we've now formalized with a name that seems to be moving around, but that's okay. One example is, in the last few days, we organized a meeting involving Rob Miller and Margaret Faulkner with an individual named Eric Adler, who's coming out of Cal Poly with a technology that is named Flume. You can look it up, F-L-U-M-E. So it's an early-stage technology. It has some patenting, but not a lot. So what it will do is enable a property owner to monitor in real time their water usage and receive that information on a cell phone, on a computer, and stay on top of it and presumably change their water-using behavior. What's novel about it is physically non-intrusive. It can affect hang it on the meter. And so what we all sort of agreed to is this technology is going to be piloted in SLO with 25 houses. And we said, well, look, we can find 3 or 4 here. So we're connected up with the inventor. We're connected up with a partner, and we'll see what happens. Another technology is I've accepted a non-paid role to be an informal advisory member of an informal advisory committee to a company called Nexus, N-E-X-U-S. This is an Australian company. This is a much more well-developed technology, and we're going to try to do a proposal for a field test on the Central Coast. The technology is an efficient and effective approach to recycling gray water. Thus far, it's designed to be focused on new housing, which we don't have a lot of in our community, but they're trying to move forward into using it on existing housing as well, so we'll see how it goes. Third example, I work a lot with Rob Miller. They're working with the Basin Management Committee, and they're trying to figure out who should be doing that kind of work. What kind of characteristics should we have? So they asked me to sort of put a set of things you want to look for to sort of emphasize an effectiveness of that kind of role. So I think we're going to come out, we're going to prefer companies that are based on work with similar projects that reflect something in the Basin Plan agenda, success in leveraging grants monies, and physical propinquity. In other words, if you really want to sort of work on technology, you better have somebody who you can talk to every couple of days over a cup of coffee. So those are some examples. As we expand this, it's going to be better, but they're actually being some money. So,
any questions?
We there was one other ad hoc committee, but we don't have a report. I just wanted to point that out on the grant of the sewer hookup money.
Oh, yes.
Director Tornotsky and I will be meeting at the beginning of next week. We've been gathering information. We wanted to line up with the other grant and financial assistance programs that are out there. We don't want to be out of sync with that.
All right, thank you. All right, with that then, we'll go to, we'll go to announcements of other meetings, events, et cetera. I obviously have the Basin Management Committee. Does anybody have anything before I get to that?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I attended the CSD annual meeting.
Yes.
But you get to talk about that since you ran it. I also attended the Democratic State Convention as a member of the State Central Committee and heard Vice President speak and voted on state-level endorsements.
Thank you. Yes, Mr.
Okay.
Ray.
Yeah, the Los Osos Fire Safe Focus Group met on the 12th and with Chief McGowan, and it's mostly an orientation meeting for him to come up to speed with what we have done in the past with Chief Inaris, and because we have work that's already been done as far as clearing the perimeter of the town, working with the Bay Ridge Greenbelt and some of the various lots that the CSD owns, and we don't want to get behind on that, and so those are areas that we're going to be looking at as far as attempting to get grants, but as one of the members stated, the grants are very short this year, and so that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, so CSDA, yes, the San Luis Obispo chapter of CSA. I am the president of that, too, apparently. So we did have our annual meeting, and actually it was quite interesting. We had Supervisor Compton, the chair of the board, give us about a 15 to 20-minute overview of what the county's doing right now, primarily what they're doing as far as capital management or capital improvement projects. And I thought that was really, really informative. And she did talk about the desalination at Diablo Canyon a little bit, too, and how really the reason that they've selected to go with that and analyze going to Rio Grande is because the infrastructure is in place that direction, whereas it's not in place this direction, so it's a much shorter run. Jim Bergman, the planning director, gave a talk, and he wants to make sure that we communicate to all of our members and our constituents that he is available at any time to discuss any concerns that anybody has with him. We had a public works report where they talked a little bit about streets, which really didn't apply to Los Osos directly because we obviously had our streets either resurfaced or in the process. But he also did make it clear that they are available. The last few items we had was election of our LAFCO representative. Merle Cliff was, well, I'm also LAFCO representative. I'm vice chairman of that board. But we did, Merle Cliff was our other representative to LAFCO, and he resigned the Cambria CFD and moved out of the area. So we did elect our alternate as our full, our second member, and that's Robert Ennis from Cayucas. So he's our other member, and then we elected, my mind went blank. Yes, thank you. Mr. Eby from Napomo as our new alternate. And then we elected Mr. Hagerman as our third representative to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee for the county. So with that, I'll go to Basin Management Committee. We did have our third meeting last month. Three things that we did of significance, I think, is we talked about, we approved our the proposal we had from Cleith Harris for doing the hydrological or hydrogeologic services or surveys for us, which will now allow us to do the quarterly monitoring, so we'll have regular data on what the seawater intrusion is and what the impacts of any reduction in consumption or any facilities that we may provide. So that was approved. We did also approve, and that's on our agenda tonight, the basin modification request that's on our agenda is number A. And I'll talk more about that when we get to that item, but just to give you an overview on that, what we did was the county's in the process of revising all of the 117 basin boundaries. They did that for the Paso Basin. They're doing that for the Edna Valley Basin, and they did it for our basin. And the reason for that is the old boundaries were based on USGS maps that were based on people riding donkeys out in the woods here and not really having any GPS capabilities or any objective data. So, and the primary concern and the reason it's on our agenda is because if, as the Basin Management Committee moves forward, that would provide the boundaries of the area that our Basin Management Plan applies to, and it would be the boundaries of any assessment areas. So that's the importance for us. And then lastly, we had a interesting presentation from Rob Miller regarding discharge of the wastewater treatment plant into the Los Osos Creek Basin and what impacts that would have on our groundwater situation. And if we discharged up into the area south of Los Osos Valley Road, how that would recharge into the basin. It was only a presentation and an initial discussion. We gave some direction for future discussion, but we'll come back at least two more times to us as a discussion item and then as an action item. So those are the primary three things we talked about. Obviously, I already mentioned it twice, and I'll bring it up again. We did have a presentation about our budget, and we're going to have our approval of the budget. All the other members of the Basin Management Committee have approved the budget, so we're the one outlier at this point. One of the things we will be discussing when we go back next month, and I did have that coming back specifically, was the question about videotaping or live broadcasting the meeting. So that will be coming back at our meeting next month. A couple of things that have come to attention that I'm going to make sure get on our agenda. Lindy brought up the issue about being able to do some blending for water reuse with the existing water out of the upper basin, and I think that's something I'm going to bring up at the next Basin Management Committee. The conservation issue that Keith brought up, and then lastly, the decommissioning and the repurposing of the septic systems. I don't know if anybody went last night. There was a session, a decommissioning meeting held in San Luis Obispo at the Senior Center at Mitchell Park. I did talk to Kevin Hauber, who was the person that organized it this morning. I had actually coffee with him this morning to get an update because, unfortunately, I was not able to make it last night. But he said it was a very, very good session. I think there's a lot of information going out. So I would just encourage people, when you're getting contacted by contractors to do your sewer hookup, that one of the things that you make sure that you look into is the repurposing of your existing septic tank, because I think that's an important thing to look at. So that's the end of that. Any questions? I know that was lengthy, but yeah, Chuck?
I would just throw in the fact that I did go to that repurposing meeting last night, and they made it very clear that if you don't want to abandon your tank, you want to reuse it, repurpose it somehow, the only point you have to get it to now is to sanitize it, get it full of water. You don't have to think about your pump. You don't have to install a pump right now. You don't have to do anything like that. You just get it ready for those future actions, get your port established, and you don't have to spend the money to carry out the next step right now.
No, and that's a good point. I forgot to mention that. Okay, so with that then, before we go to public comment on items on the administrative and committee reports, is there any item that anybody would like to pull from the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to public comment on the items of the administrative and committee reports.
Excuse me, Mr. I just wanted to your attention. 11B, the minutes of February 11th, there's a clerical error. Vice President Storm made a motion to amend the resolution to transfer the money to the General Fire Reserve. The motion failed.
Okay.
No second. So okay. I would like to amend.
That's a clerical correction. So
yes,
okay, so seeing no item being pulled, now we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Keith, you're up.
Thank you. My name is Keith Weimer, homeowner. So I understand from the chair's comments just now that conservation will be addressed at the meeting. Thank you. And I also understand that there'll be a focus on repurposing septic systems. And thank you, Chuck, for bringing up that the meeting last night informed people that it's actually less expensive to just have your tank sanitized than even decommissioning it. So those are very valuable assets at a home. It costs $3,000 to $4,000 to put a 1,000-gallon rainwater tank underground at your home. So you're increasing the value of your home by doing that. And as I said, if we can get, you know, a good percentage of people to do that, then that's a big dent on outdoor water use, because it could be as much as half of the outdoor water use that would allow you to cover with a tank. I just wanted to mention quickly that the quarterly monitoring that was approved at the Basin Management Committee still has a little issue, and that issue is that a good percentage of the wells that are supposed to be monitored are still private wells, and we don't have a policy in place or an ordinance in place to require that to be done, and we still need to be sure we're monitoring private wells. I wanted to also mention that the shortfall in your water budget in the revenues for utilities department should be addressed by that penalty phase being put in now. There's no reason why it wouldn't be. I don't remember anything specific as to why it would be delayed until there's further determination of serious problems. So that will definitely help. And remember, that's what Cambria did successfully. I wanted to mention that to Lou that there's a Prop 1 grant out there right now for what is it, LID and infiltration and so on, and that would be really put to good use if we could stop that pumping of the water from 8th Street into the bay, and it does help the groundwater, and it supports a good solid recycled water program by diluting salts in the groundwater. And I believe I covered it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Julie.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and welcome, Mr. Campa. And it sounds like you have to be Superman because your order is tall. The things the district wants you to do over the next couple of months are enormous. And best of luck. And now my offer to help stands. The thing you talked about with transparency, I kind of want to weave my comment to Mr. Seitz said that confidential information was given to me, obviously. Without that information, I'm not sure what particular item it was, but I think we'd still have Ms. Kivley sitting here if I didn't have that. And if that's the case, that's the lady who told you that next year's audit would be great. It would all be fixed. Mr. Campa just told you not only the charges for the audit, but now this actuary may run another close to $10,000. Collateral damage. I am so glad she's gone. It was a very expensive price to pay. But the collateral damage reverberates and costs more than if she'd still been here. So I don't know what information was given to me that wasn't public record, because she's a public servant. Her paycheck is public record, and the lady stole from this district. And her incompetence cost you more than the actual cash out of your coffers. I would like you to, Marshall, you need to restate the recommendation about from finance about the Seitz warrant. You've mentioned Saperstein. Saperstein's not in here. The Seitz warrant. There was a recommendation from the Finance Committee that there be an analysis into these charges. Mr. Seitz said that he was directed to look through all the public records. I've now seen the charge, and it doesn't add up to $1,400 to do what you said, to have a telephone conference with the woman who made the request, to have follow-up emails and follow-up conversations. That's not described in reviewing the documents. So the charges are about double what they should have been if indeed you got that direction from this board. I guess that's it.
Thank you. Lindy?
Lindy Owen, I guess I'll continue a little bit because that was on my list of things to bring up, is that I think our legal counsel Seitz has led us down the wrong road as far as our past general manager. Oh, and welcome, Mr. Campa, and good luck. But I am very offended that we spent so much time trying to do an investigation when you had clear information that this woman had stolen from the district, was doing casino gambling on office hours, and basically couldn't get an audit done or get a financial statement in front of you for months, a year. So she already earned her kick out the door, as far as I'm concerned. And so why did we have to go through major investigations? You hire your friend Jim Gardner from San Luis, or somebody's friend, to come in. We could have gotten the investigator that did the Arroyo Grande look at Mr. Yes. Mr. Wallace, that investigation, that would have been worth it, and it would have been fast, and she would have been out the door much sooner than I don't know how much she did get away with. I would like to see all the hours that were spent. I think that the board deserves to see what our legal counsel did to earn the money that he earned and to spend $14,000 on an investigation that we were told was half of that. The other thing was we are not having a waste or a utilities meeting this month. I'm not sure that why the reason is for that. The group has met for a long time. Most are, you know, prior members. I think we have things to talk about, and even if it was a short meeting, I'm just sad to see that we're starting to already cancel the extra meetings that this community needs, especially with the holidays being done and Ms. Kively now removed from the CSD. I like the Pink Flamingos campaign that the Chamber's helping Monarch School do. And I agree with Keith about repurposing our septic tanks. People in this community have no idea quite what they're doing in most respects, and I will be glad when the county opens up their office, and I hope that they can provide the information that the repurposing of the septic tanks is probably the best direction to go, even if it does sit empty until you have the funds to operate it. And I hope that we will consider looking at saving one-third of the basin per household by getting deliveries.
Thanks.
Any other comments? Yes, Lynette.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I was so hoping we could welcome Mr. Campa with kind words and not go visit the past. I'm really sorry that we had to welcome you in such a horrible way. And believe me, it's not all of us talking about that stuff. I feel like I need to defend Ms. Kively. She was really slammed by the people you saw at the podium unfairly. And that private report is private. We don't know what's in it. There's all kinds of allegations that were made about her on a cheesy so-called news site called Cal Coast News. She was dissed before she even walked in the door, and I am just so sorry that you have to follow footsteps that you didn't have to look at right now, but obviously the people in the audience felt that you did. So I would like to commend you on your excellent report. I thought it was a great general manager's report. Thank you so much, and we're not all like that, so please give us a chance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. I did, and Julie, I appreciate your correction. That was that the Financial Advisory Committee did request further analysis of the legal warrant. I didn't make that clear, but you were correct in that. So with that, then, I'll go ahead and take a motion to receive and file the committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I move to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda with item B as amended.
I'll second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll have a roll call, please.
Vice President Storm?
Yes, no as to D. No as to D. Yes, no as to D.
No. Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of D.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
President O'Hilskin?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, then, we'll go to general action items. Item 12A, adopt resolution supporting the proposed basin boundary modifications. I think I gave you guys an overview with that. Do we want to have some additional staff report on that? Mr. Seitz.
Yes, the county is going to be the lead agency in terms of making that application. They've requested that each of the entities within the Basin Management Committee adopt a resolution supporting it. I did receive notice today that it's not going to be on their next agenda, but the agenda following. But this is a necessary action and to assist the county with its moving forward with the basin modification.
So So any questions? Seeing none, do public comment on 12A? Yes, Julie.
I would be curious to ask Mr. Seitz if he knows if this is going to be on the board's agenda, if this is a consent item, or if there'll be an actual presentation. When the county came to Los Osos, there was a presentation by the hydrologist. This is all new news for those of us who follow the basin, in that we have a different boundary than we've had before. I'm not saying that it's good or bad work. It's just new information. And that meeting was not televised. Mr. Harris is not here to give your board that presentation. I don't know if the five of you have listened to that meeting. It's been loaded on the slowcountywater.org website, just the audio. But it seems to me that for the public, who is able to watch at home, because you have this resource of AGP video, that we would try to have a presentation in front of your board if we do or don't know if the Board of Supervisors is going to have a presentation. Because as much as that room was pretty much full, about this size, most of the people that were there were the farming community and those outside of the district boundaries with many questions, many concerns, and there's no real record of it for them to be able to watch Mr. Harris's PowerPoint presentation describing the new information. And I'm really sorry to see that, because it goes back to being transparent. I find it fascinating that we have a new boundary. We have, for years, only gone about as far as Clark Valley. Now we're going over the, what's that called? Plateau? I call it the plateau. Over the cemetery, Mesa, that's what they're calling it now, the Cemetery Mesa. So it's over the other side of Jacaranda. Is that the street that is now the new border? And, you know, people who live out there need to know what that means to them. So I just wish we had given this more sunshine, and this is the place where I hope it happens, because this is Los Osos and this is our groundwater basin.
Thank you. Any other comment? Public comment? Okay, seeing that, I'll bring it back to the board. Any discussion, please?
I was at a LOCAC meeting last fall, and the well came up for discussion, and put it charitably, some of the county people there acted like I was from space when I suggested that the basin as it currently existed was this white dashed line, and now I'm finding out, well, no, we still have to change it yet. So I guess in their mind it's already changed. But my understanding, this is based on science and on the report and everything, so I think we ought to go ahead and do this and get the basin plan moving. I just thought that this was already...
Yeah. Can I, and maybe I might want to do one clarification here. This boundary change is actually done by the State Water Board. This is only a recommendation from us and to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors will then forward this on to the State Water Board. It's the Water Board's determination whether or not they're going to revise the 118 boundaries or not. So, okay, no further discussion. Can I get a motion from...
Yeah, I move that the board adopt resolution 2016-07 in support of the County of San Luis Obispo's pursuit of boundary modifications for the Los Osos Valley Groundwater Basin.
There a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Yes. Director Wright?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, we'll go to General Action Item 12B, the approve the budget for the Basin Management Committee. If we could have a report, and then I'll go through, the recommendations of the Financial Advisory Committee that did look at this at their meeting on Monday. I can give the report. That's not a problem. I just had to pull it up here. I'm sorry.
That's what happens when we let everybody get sick in the office. And
yeah, we did get a budget. Like I said, that there's been a budget approved by the Basin Management Committee for the operations for the first year, which is a calendar year. And the other entities that are involved have approved their budget. Where the issue really came up is twofold: us being able to find the funds to, or pardon me, the source of the funds to fund our portion of the Basin Management Committee, and then secondly, we're on a fiscal year as opposed to a calendar year. So how did those funds get allocated out to this fiscal year and next fiscal year? So if you look in the staff report, there would be a total budget for this calendar year of 2016, which is the operational year for the Basin Management Committee, our share being $119,548, with $63,270 being allocated up front this fiscal year, and then $56,278 being allocated to next fiscal year. We did identify in my discussions with Margaret and Rob Miller, this predates our interim general manager, but we did indicate, or pardon me, we did find available funding sources for the allocation of the $63,000, which is the ISJ cost sharing funds, which we do have $28,747 remaining in, and then secondly in the Basin Management Reserve, which we have transfer enough money, and that would still leave us a balance of $4,765 in that account. So we would like to go ahead and move forward with the Basin Management Committee. We really need this funding because the other parties have already approved the funding for our committee. So this did go to Financial Advisory Committee meeting on Monday, and what the Financial Advisory Committee did approve or recommend to this board is above the videoing of the meeting, which I already talked about, so I won't bring that one up again. I brought that up three times now. Was two things. Is one, that they recommend to the board, rather than doing the approval of the full budget for the full year, that we just approve up through the end of fiscal year, which is through the end of June. And then secondly, that we go ahead and direct our general manager to go ahead and see if we can get a loan to cover our portion of these expenses from the Water Conservation and the Flood Control District that covers Los Osos. So that was their recommendation to this board. So I can answer any questions. If not, we'll go to public comment.
I have just a minor one. Is there a reason that the Basin Management Committee's year is a calendar versus everybody else's fiscal?
Because we started, our first meeting was in January, so that's why we chose to go with the calendar year. Okay. And to answer your question, I mean, if we look at our other entities involved, like Golden State and Sunset Terrace and the county, we're the odd ones with the fiscal year. They have the calendar year as their fiscal year. The county, I think, has the fiscal year like we do. So we're not going to please everybody because everybody's on different budgetary years.
Okay. Just curious.
Just to clarify, though, the current staff recommendation, we're just approving this fiscal year and then directing staff to put the rest of, so at least that part is consistent with the...
Yeah, the difference between the recommendation from the Financial Advisory Committee and what staff's recommending was to go ahead and direct the general manager to contact the Water Conservation and Flood Control District to see if we could actually be loaned these monies as a, you know, and then be paid back subsequent funding at a later date. So that was, but that was not a contingency about doing this first period. That was for subsequent budget approval. So what they recommended is we do approve up to the end of June, and then before we consider the fiscal, next fiscal year, that we have contacted the Water Conservation Flood Control District to see if they would, I don't want to say loan because that's really not the proper word, but front the money, I think, is a better way to put it. Well, whatever. So we'll go to public comment with that. So we have public comment on this item, 12B.
Keith Weimer, thank you. I just wanted to again reiterate that we, as part of the seawater intrusion monitoring, we do need to make sure about those private wells. I wanted to remind you, too, that the county did agree to fund some extra wells that we're going to be filling in the gaps. There are some gaps along the Cuesta by the Sea that need to be covered. I do still have concerns about $44,000 being spent on an annual report. I know there's a startup fee, but that's a lot of money on a report, and I just want to make sure the Basin Management Committee is not trying to balance the basin on paper. And also, the $120,000 for a consultant to just decide strategies on how to pass a special tax seems awfully exorbitant, and I think, I hope, and I would like you to recommend to the chair and to the Basin Management Committee that that the money is used as efficiently as possible when those items come before the Basin Management Committee, and any money that doesn't need to be spent on an item like that especially is not spent. I wanted to point out that the conservation funding here is very low, so it's another reason to use the conservation grant money for the wastewater project to cover indoor-outdoor programs for all the purveyors, and this $10,000 is not going to do it. And the money you have in your budget, especially with the lower with the funding that's not at the levels it needs to be, is not enough. The other thing I wanted to point out is that there's going to be some expense for looking at the creek discharge. It may not be approved at this point, but that's going to be a fairly expensive report. And I wanted to caution, since I'm on that subject, I wanted to caution you about what that creek discharge can do. What that creek discharge does is it removes another obstacle to full build-out in this community, because then you have a place, theoretically, to put all your recycled water for buildup. So I wanted to caution you that unless this Basin Management Committee and the parties develop a policy for exactly what it's going to, what is going to be required in terms of evidence, metrics and monitoring and so on, to actually support building as being sustainable in this community, unless you develop that policy first, you are effectively, in several ways, opening the door to unsustainable growth. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Keith. Julie?
Julie Tacker, and I'll just... I kind of hope you go with the Financial Advisory Committee's recommendation. I think you do need to seek another source. This number, $119,000, buys an intertie. That's a physical improvement to the basin, an intertie. Can't afford it. We're not getting there. This report over here that Margaret put in her utility report that shows the revenues versus, what does she call it? Revenue comparison from water billing. We're not meeting our targets. We're not going to be able to buy an intertie. But this money could buy an intertie. We're choosing to spend it on paper, on administering the Basin Management Committee and not implementing the Basin Management Plan. That's problematic. I have a lot of heartburn over the county reaching into the county-wide coffer, the Flood Control District, to pay their $63,000 share. They didn't reach into that coffer to pay their share of the ISJ for the last 8 years. They hit the prohibition zone for that. That's never been right. And I'd like you to go back and ask for that money to come back to the prohibition zone. Ultimately, what wasn't said when we went through the previous item was that there's going to be an assessment district to fund the Basin Management Committee and implementation of the Basin Management Plan, but for those items that you have agreed to pay for through your rates and your CIP. So this is just the beginning. And this amount of money to administer, it's like having a whole nother CSD. It's another district. It's another layer of government. And the people have to pay for it. So I want to see us get the most for our money and get on-the-ground physical improvements for the basin, for the health of the basin. Not hiring people, not writing reports. Let's get going. And the intertie has been on the books when it was probably $25,000, and now it's $120,000.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Oh, Richard. I didn't see you come in, Richard.
Richard Margeson. Before I make my comment, if you get a chance to watch the rerun of the debate tonight, listen closely. It doesn't matter what side you're on, Democrat, Republican. Listen to John Kasich tonight and some of the underlying themes from him. Very interesting. Very appropriate. I don't know what's been brought up already from the Finance Committee, but you're in the infancy of this. My effort has been to make sure that these meetings get videotaped and played on Channel 21. I think it was your last meeting, we pretty much made it almost unavoidable that they get taped, because you have $4,000 in this budget for the audio recording, and the communities come forward, members of the community come forward and said that there's the additional $3,000 can be raised. But what came up at finance, and again, excuse me if I'm repeating something that was said earlier, but you have a line item here for meeting expenses, facility rent. For those that weren't at finance, there's $4,000 on that line item at $30 an hour to rent the room for the Basin Management Committee meetings. That works out to 133 hours if the entire budget was spent. And Marshall guaranteed us at finance that he wouldn't be holding any 11-hour meetings, because that's what it would work out to a month. I believe there's room in that section of the budget to make up the shortfall of making sure these meetings are videotaped and played on Channel 21. If the committee doesn't play those meetings on 21 and agree to have them videotaped, then what the community is going to hear is from the public at these microphones, at your CSD meetings. So someone could say pretty much anything if they're not at the meetings, which are at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday when 75-80% of this community is not even in town because they work outside of Los Osos. I think it's imperative that those meetings get videotaped, get replayed, so there's no misunderstanding when this community is asked for another assessment. I guarantee you right now, 90% of this community has no idea another assessment's coming down the road.
Thank you, Richard. Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none. Okay, so Richard brought that up for the sixth time now, so I've brought it up three times myself, and I keep. So it's been brought up, and that is on my agenda for next BMC, as you know. So anyway, so we do have a motion and a budget, or pardon me, an item on the table here. So I think that, you know, this is pretty clear. If we want to add the idea about direction to see if we can get water conservation and policy to fund this, I think that's appropriate. So however you guys want to go, but I do need discussion and a motion here.
Is there any reason we should limit the direction to staff in finding outside funding
to that particular
to the
source?
Flood control
no, I don't
district?
Think so, no.
Okay. That's one question I have, and another question I have, and this probably depends on the 218, but the idea is in the future this committee will be funded by the assessment. Is there any way to include the 16-17 budget retroactively in a 218, or can that only be forward-looking?
You're talking about reimbursing us.
Yeah. So we made a... If we, I'm just asking a question. I mean...
You know, I think that the... First of all, the assessment is going to be out at least a couple of years, so it's not going to be in the short term here. I mean, so we have a lot of work to just even get in a position to do the assessment. So I think probably at least for this first year, that's not doable. But I'm not talking from a legal perspective. I'm just talking from a functional perspective.
Yeah, that's an issue that I haven't come across yet, and I'll be happy to take a quick look at that. The other thing that we've been told, at least, is that this first annual budget will be the largest and that the future budgets will be smaller. That's to be seen, I admit, but we are front-loading this with quite a bit of consultant time, and I think in the next budget you're going to see more boots on the ground.
My question boils down to, I guess, is if we're going to make direction to the staff about, you know, asking the flood control district to loan us money, why doesn't it just loan the Basin Management Committee the money? Why are we getting in the middle? Just a question. This is just a question I'm putting out there. It's a little bit premature because right now the recommendation we're working on is this fiscal year and then putting the next fiscal year into the budget cycle. But apropos of that, if we're going to make a recommendation about seeking outside funding, I just had those questions.
Well, it would seem appropriate to me if we want to adopt a motion that's in here that when this comes back for the next budgetary cycle, that I think those things can be looked at for alternate sources of funding. But I don't think it's just loan funding. I mean, it's grant funding and basically, you know, bigger picture funding. So I think if we do this and then we just give direction to staff that we'd like you to look into these in the next budget cycle, which is only 3 months out. So, I mean, we're not talking a long time. So I think that could be, you know, I get that as the sentiment of the board. So I think we could just do that as direction to staff to go ahead and pursue those items as part of the funding for fiscal 2016-2017. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. All right, so I still need a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the board approve the Basin Management Committee budget with respect to costs anticipated in fiscal year 2015-16 in the amount of $63,270 and direct staff to include outside funding in the draft 2016-17 budget in the amount of $56,278 for the BMC expenses through calendar year 2016.
No, I don't think we can can I make a suggestion for a second here? I would think we'd be better off to leave it the way it is and then just direct staff to pursue outside funding rather than make it a restriction in the motion.
Sure. So corrected.
So with that correction, do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. That. So any other discussion on that? Yes? No? No?
No.
All right. Let's go roll call then.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Cesania?
Yes.
Director Chernovsky?
Yes.
President O'Hilsky?
Yes. Okay, thank you. So that ends our general action item portion of our budget. So that brings us to future agenda items. You know, one of the things that obviously we're going to be continuing to come back with is things from the Basin Management Committee that require action by the various bodies that are involved in that. And I already mentioned the two that are going to be coming back, which is the repurposing and then the conservation. So does anybody else have any other items that they want to consider for future agenda items?
Well, going along with loading Pete up here with stuff that we've talked about in the past, the personnel policy needs to be revisited. I think we need to take a look at that sooner than later. And also, it's been mentioned in the past by the public, I think that the contract the school district has with the water recycling, we need to take a look at that and see what we can do to make it fairer to us. So I want to see that sooner than later, too.
No, that's a good point, and I think that's something that we should get to the Utility Advisory Committee sooner than later. Yeah, very good point. Anything else that we want to put for future items? Okay, seeing none, then we have closing board comments. I'll go last. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I just want to welcome Pete to the team. He does has his work cut out for him, but I think he has a great staff to work with, and I think the board is on board with making sure he's successful. So welcome again.
Thank you. Okay, Chuck, we're over to you.
Emergency Services Committee meeting on the 15th, 5:30, Fire Station, and welcome, Peter.
I think the financial exigencies are really becoming more and more apparent, and I think we need to be very clever about trying to get the missing chunks. So soft money floats all boats. We need to figure that one out.
Thank you. Okay. John Eric?
I, too, want to welcome our new interim general manager. You do have your work cut out for you, and we have high expectations, but I don't think we would have reached out to you if we didn't think you could meet those. And excited to say almost 2 years after this is, I guess, past my two-year anniversary of being on this board, I'm just really excited to announce that on the 21st, we're going to have our first Parks and Rec Advisory Committee meeting. Maybe a little anticlimactic because it'll be Brown Act training and so forth and so on, but we're going.
All right, thank you. And I'd also like to thank Peter for joining us on board here and knowing that I believe he'll be very, very successful in working with not only the board and the community. And I get to do the Cleanup Week announcement. Is that it today? Yeah. So our Cleanup Week that happens twice a year for everybody's benefit where you want to... I don't go there. It's free to people who are single-family residents, customers of Mission Country Disposal. So on your regular pickup during the week of April 11th through April 15th, you can put additional junk outside. You can put additional... bags, you can put up to 12 combined cans, bags, or bundles, plus your waste wheelers. So you can do that. So just be aware of that. And I know most people are aware of Cleanup Week, but that's April 11th through April 15th this year, okay? All right. With that, then, we'll go ahead and adjourn to our next meeting, which is in April. Thank you. Oh, can I one last thing? We do still have committee openings on some of our advisory committees. So if you're interested in that, go to our website or go to our office or contact Ann. All right, thank you. With that, we'll adjourn.
Yeah. Sure.